Foreword. The far-off land of Lagheim, a land known for its wealth of, albeit dragon-infested dungeons, is the subject of many great legends and powerful songs. However, the great and powerful line of bard kings who rule over Lagheim are strict with such tales. The first bard king Gygax's proclamation decreed that the throne claims exclusive right to write, produce, tell, and sing its gloriousness upon any land, sea, or sky, or people, current or hereafter, and violators are to be swiftly dealt with. To back up such an impossible proclamation to uphold, he needed power, and not just the expert bard arts already at his disposal. To his kingdom employ the recruited powerful mages styling themselves wizards and researchers of both the dragons and the dungeons they'd inhabited. Each wizard was given a splendid mage tower along a coastal region surrounding a particularly large and near grouping of powerful dungeons. In return for the Bard King's hospitality, these coastal wizards have vowed to assert the king's claim as if it were their own, and use their own force to uphold it to the end of time. To this day, even the youngest, most podunk village bard knows this. Be careful not to make your stories too close to that of the current Bard King Hasbro and his dungeons and dragons, or you may gain his ire, or worse, litigation from the wizards of the coast. No, Timothus, you can't call them firbolgs. If the wizards hear you say that, you'll be put in chains. You've got to call them Fomor. Chapter 1. Drafted.
You've been drafted. Report to Centurion Darius in the town of Damarel by sunset tomorrow. Will be branded a deserter.
Godric stood there, watching the Minotaur messenger strut through the field back to the town. What had just happened? His eyes followed the strutting beast, pondering how his life had just changed for good. He stared at the fields and the trees surrounding his family estates. The wheat was just coming to bloom. The trees were perfectly green. The birds were singing in the sky. He hadn't heard them before. There was so much good. There was so much to behold around here. So much peace. Now it had all been disrupted, broken, torn apart by a simple message.
Godric? What does he mean, drafted?
Said Tolo, his faithful Tertarian servant, as he stretched his scaly neck out of his shell to keep the messenger in view as he joined the main road to town. A fearful look on his face as he too watched the Minotaur strut into the distance. He considered for a moment the oddity of having a Minotaur deliver this message. Minotaurs were generally kept for construction work and simple labour, little better than slaves. What was one doing delivering a message to the Godmain estate? Of course, his father would be so proud. His family was replete with a history of great warriors and generals who'd all fought in the greatest battles of their time. His father expected nothing less than Godric to walk in the footsteps of his ancestors. The estate he was now on was in fact a reward for past feats in a previous battle his father had fought many decades ago. He'd heard the stories many times, but it had gotten old after the first 50 or so. There was more to life than war, Godric thought. The Leodin, his people, were renowned as fierce warriors. He should have what it takes to live up to the legacy of his ancestors. But Godric desired knowledge and information more than he did battles and defeating one's enemies. He reached into the nearby barrel of water
splashing some on his face to calm his nerves. An old wooden barrel that had been on his family estate from long before they had arrived. They'd named it the Godmane Barrel, as it seemed to bring luck to anyone who splashed water on their face from the barrel. He had done just that, but received no buff this time. Maybe it was an urban legend. He did feel cooler, though no less apprehensive about how his life was about to change. Godric looked down at Tolo again, his faithful servant. Would he come with him? Would he stand by his side, even in war?
I don't know what to do, Tolo. Do I go talk to my father? Do I go talk to my mother? Maybe.
I'm pretty sure the draft is compulsory, Godric. You cannot defy it.
The Marls had been servants in Godric's family for generations. Master Marl was one of Godric's main teachers. History and battle strategy was taught by Master Marl. Maybe he should seek him out. This was all too much. He couldn't talk to his family yet. He had to get some time alone and calm down. The lake was where he found peace. He'd go and sit and stare at the water, watching the birds and the reeds. Maybe forget that this has just happened for a moment. Forgetting Tolo by his side, Godric turned and walked westward toward the large lake on the Godmane estate. He had his favourite meditation spot on a rock, looking out over the lake. Hopefully the lake would be as peaceful as it always was. It was a perfect summer's day. The sun was shining off the wheat fields and there was not a cloud in the sky. The lake at this point should be as flat as a mill pond, perfect for emptying one's mind and clarifying one's thoughts. Approaching the lake, however, his dreams were dashed. Not only was someone else here, it was his little brother. Charin, Godric's younger brother, though 3 years younger, was a finer specimen of a warrior than Godric would ever be. Tall, broad, with a chest like a barrel, he embodied the ideal Leodin warrior physique. A glorious golden mane with long flowing hair, a strong jaw and a powerful muzzle. If Godric were not his brother, and had known him since he was but a small kitten, he may even have been intimidated by him. Hearing Godric's approach, Charin turned and jumped in surprise, seeing his older brother.
Godric, you've come to join me to scare the fishes. Where have you been all day?
His brother shouted, arms wide.
As if you'd catch any fish. You're all brawns and no brain.
Godric responded, mirroring his brother's playful tone.
Come, brother, you were always the smart one of the two of us. I do wish sometimes I could have your brains. What's happened? You look like father's finally burned all your books and you've nothing left but to join the Legion. That'll be the day.
Charin well knew that the last thing Godric wanted to be was a soldier. They had fought make-believe battles when they were just kittens together. Charin had always won and managed to rub Godric's face in it enough that he never wanted anything to do with that side of his family again. He'd stuck his nose in a book and never taken it out. In a fit of annoyance that he had indeed guessed what was bothering him, he strode up to his younger brother and pushed him into the lake, hoping that his brother's miserable swimming scars would provide Godric with at least some comedic relief in this dire moment. With a satisfying splash, Charin toppled into the water. He resurfaced, spluttering and gagging, shouting all kinds of obscenities at his older brother. Shocked for a moment that he'd actually managed to push his brother over, Godric didn't see the arm snaking up and grabbing his ankle, pulling him bodily into the lake to join his brother. Maybe the blessing from that old barrel wasn't just an old wives' tale, huh? The two brothers fought in the water for a few minutes. Fought being a strong word. More, Charin held Godric in a headlock underwater until he tapped out.
You can really be an ass sometimes, brother,
Charin said as he let Godric go and allowed him to take a few deep gulps of air.
So, brother, what has happened that's got you so riled up? Oh, Charin, I'd wish they'd chosen you instead of me. You're too young. Only just, though. A messenger arrived in the field just now. He brought my draft notice. I have to report to the town by tomorrow evening, or they'll brand me a deserter. I know that father will be so proud. He's waited for this day since I was a kitten. But you know what I'm like, Charin. I'm not made of the right stuff for this. Well, brother, I'm sure you'll be a better fighter than you know. Come, let's go home. We can talk to father about it. I'm sure it won't be as bad as you're imagining it.
At this moment, Tolo finally caught up to the two, walking down the path to the lake. The two brothers had got out of the lake and were starting their way towards the large manor house.
Godric, why are you wet?
Don't worry about it, Tolo. We just had a dip in the lake. It was very refreshing.
Dripping wet, the brothers joined the southeastern pass back to the main house. Godric's mood had indeed been lifted by his provocative younger brother, despite his many attempts to jab him in the ribs on their walk back to the house. On the horizon, the great manor house came into view. It had started as but a shack, lived in by the family who farmed and tilled the land. Over centuries, from generation to generation, the building had changed owners, and so had grown in scope and magnificence. What was once a shack then became a chalet, then became a large family house. And since being transferred to Godric's family, to the Godmain estate, what had once been a small farmer's shack was now a grand manor house with many floors and many rooms. There were several other buildings on the estate, a library, a stables, training grounds, a blacksmith's workshop, and a multitude of other buildings that his father frequented day to day, meeting other old veterans and family friends, much of which bored Godric and did not interest him in the slightest. The library was the building that called to him the most, and where, indeed, he spent most of his time. Coming up to the front of the house, the two brothers were greeted by a large wooden double door, the entrance to their family home. Though the door was wide, both brothers tried to enter at the same time, smashing each other's shoulders into the walls and barging to try and get in front of one another. As per usual, Charin won the day and fought his way through to the entrance lobby, shouting to his father as he went.
Father, you must come and hear the news our Godric has.
Godric closed his eyes and breathed a long sigh of defeat. He should never have expected his brother to keep quiet about this. He was never one for keeping a secret or to play things down. And sure enough, from a door to their right, their father entered the ballroom from his private study. Charin was about to wrestle Godric into another headlock when he looked up and saw his father approaching.
Father, you've got to hear Godric's news. Godric, quick, tell your father what you're going to do. Do tell, Godric. What news do you have?
Godric stood under the full gaze of his father. A man of intimidating presence and a gaze as sharp as his fangs, even in his aging years. A war hero, battle-scarred and battle-worn, mighty and bold. Even as his son, Godric couldn't help but be intimidated by the man. By rights, he should want to impress him, to be like him. In reality, he wanted nothing less. His father had spent Godric's youth poring over battle maps and strategy, teaching the younger generation how to fight his wars for him. He had not spent enough time with his family, teaching his sons how to be men. And yet, for all his strength, all of his power and his years of experience, his father still lacked what Godric prized most: knowledge. He was wise, to be sure, but he knew so little of the world. All he knew was battle and war, how to defeat one's enemies with a sharp sword and a man at your side.
Oh, well, father, there was a messenger from town that was walking through the fields saying he was going from house to house to get recruits for this war that the Crown has organized, and I knew you always wanted me to be a soldier, a proper warrior like you, so I walked up to the messenger and said that I will join your campaign, good man, and will come and fight for the Crown. Yes, and he said that I was he was grateful and said that I was to go to the town of Damerel tomorrow to officially sign up.
His father stood and listened to Godric's stuttered explanation, waiting to the end and simply raising an eyebrow in disbelief.
Is that so, Godric? In that case, if that is truly what happened, I am very impressed. You know what my opinion is on the making of a man. I'm sure your brother also will be very impressed with your gallant actions today. Is that not so, Charin? Were you there to observe Godric's selfless act?
Charin turned to look at his father, a look of surprise on his face. Turning back to Godric, he simply frowned.
Wait, that's not what you told me by the lake?
Perhaps it was too much for Godric to expect his younger brother to corroborate his story. He really had hoped he could avoid the whole drafted situation. He could have earned some brownie points with his father. Alas, it seemed it was not to be. He would have to face the music. What would his father say?
I shall assume what you told me was but a half-truth, Godric. I have heard that they are recruiting for their new war. The messenger I saw in the field earlier must have handed you your draft notice. Still, I am proud to see that you have accepted your enlistment. We may make a man of you yet.
An interesting look came across his father's face. No, it wasn't pride. Maybe the beginnings of interest in his son. Godric's father had never shown much interest in either son, though prized his brother's brawn over Godric's brains.
Now, the both of you, go get yourself dried up. You smell like pond water. I'm busy. I shall see you both at dinner.
At this, his father turned around and re-entered his study. His true home, where Godric believed he kept his power source, his fountain of eternal youth, whatever it was that kept him studying to the wee hours of the morning. Only seconds after the door to the study shut, a breathless, scurrying Tolo entered from the stairwell into the ballroom.
Godric, I have to warn you.
Your father has been told of the draft. The messenger. He knows about the messenger.
Too little, too late. Thanks, Tolo. Charin watched the breathless Tolo scurry across the room and turned to look at his brother, a broad smile on his face. He clapped him painfully on the shoulders 3 times and laughed heartily.
Maybe you should take Tolo with you and use his shell as a shield. That would easily double your combat skill.
His brother really could be an ass sometimes. Thank you for listening to the first chapter of Book to New Worlds. Any of you who are here after having listened to the last of Mother of Learning, thank you so much for your loyalty. I hope that you might enjoy and engage in this new story. This chapter was recorded from our first stream together. It was great. We had a lot of interaction. The setting was espoused by me, and the listeners got to choose various locations and things that were said by characters at certain points. This was our first time doing this, and I hope that things get smoother in the future and that we might get slightly longer chapters as we go. Please do come join on Twitch on Monday evenings, GMT time, and we can create more of this story together. Thank you so much for listening, and let's continue with the story.